Jannadhyasyaitam vyatitte itarate sasmi Jannadhyasyaitam vyatitartas chate svavigyasvarat Tene brahmaridaya adhikavye mujante yasurya Tejo varimelam yatavini mayo yatatri sargamissa Dhamne svena sada nirastukukam satyam parandimaye Everything has its origin in Krishna, as is explained in the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. And it is explained that when Krishna appeared in this world, that at that time the world was overburdened by demoniac forces of demoniac rulers. And we remember how Kamsa was living in fear of the prediction that the eighth child of Devaki would kill him. And Kamsa wasn't sure, but because Narada had come and made some calculation and shown that actually it depends how you count which one is the eighth. Therefore, to make sure, Kamsa was ready to kill every child. And then the eighth child, as we recall, when Krishna appeared, the whole palace was asleep. Suddenly the chains fell off Vasudev, and Vasudev took the child across the river and placed the child in the arms of Yasoda, who had just given birth to a daughter. He took that daughter, brought it back, and then went back into the jail. Everyone woke up and found that the newborn child was a daughter. Kamsa was shocked. It's supposed to be a son and now it's a daughter. How is this possible? But Kamsa, just to make sure, decided to kill that child also. You never know. Then, as he threw the baby against the wall, it became Durga Devi, who then said, "You fool, you Kamsa, you fool. Don't you know that the child who will kill you already has taken birth elsewhere?" And then it begins. Kamsa then meets with his ministers and they have a discussion and they decide to somehow or other kill all the newborn children that have recently taken birth just in case. And Putana is commissioned. Putana, of course, is very expert and well known for killing children. Putana then comes, and Putana tries, as we remember, she tries to poison Krishna. But at that time, she has taken the form of a beautiful lady. She has put poison on her breast. Krishna, he drinks from her breast, he drinks that poison, but he doesn't die. Krishna also takes her milk. And Krishna at the same time sucked out Putana's life air. It is described by our acharyas that at that time Krishna was holding on with two little hands to Putana's breast, and Putana felt great pain. She tried to pull the child off her breast, but it didn't work. And Krishna squeezed very hard. As a result, Putana could no longer retain her disguise. And then she ran out of the house of Nanda Maharaj. And she took her original form gradually. As she was running, she became bigger and bigger until she was 20 kilometers long. She was on the tall side. And then, just at the edge of Vrindavan, Putana died, and as she dropped dead, she crashed on the ground right in the middle of Kamsa's favorite fruit orchard, which was totally destroyed. So Krishna arranged everything. But that is not the most remarkable. What is the most remarkable is what happened to Putana after that. that Putana was promoted by Krishna to the spiritual world, to Golok Vrindavan. And there, Putana was given the position of a mother to Krishna. A datri, actually, a nurse, assisting Mother Yasoda in caring for Krishna. And in this way, Putana was rewarded because, after all, she offered milk. And Krishna, in that way was reciprocating. Krishna overlooked the poison. He did not think she tried to give me poison. For this, I will get her back. A little while she left to suffer for this. No. Krishna was seeing that she offered me milk. She offered me milk like a mother. Therefore, she'll be my mother. Yeah. So just see the nature of Krishna. See how kind is Krishna. That Krishna is overlooking the faults, and Krishna is subsequently counting all the good things we do and giving us full credit and full reward for that. That is Krishna. Therefore Krishna is very kind and merciful and very much approachable, and it is Krishna who is very eager to bestow the mercy of his devotees. Te samme mangam tatam aham adhyajam tamah nasyam bhava vastu jnana vipena shashvata. Krishna resides within the consciousness of the living being, and he is waiting. And when he sees a slight inclination towards spiritual life, immediately, and he makes all the arrangements. So, in this way, we are here. Other demons came, and in each case, Krishna was showing his mercy upon them. Krishna was extremely kind. Extremely kind. It is said that Shishupal was very, very proud, because Shishupal was extremely wealthy. He was the king of Chedi, and he was well situated with many alliances. Jarasandha was close to him, who was very powerful. The king of Chedi, Shishupal, was extremely wealthy, in fact, as wealthy as Krishna. So then the Pandavas, they organized this Rajasuya sacrifice. Somehow or other, everything went well for the Pandavas. First of all, there was a gambling match between this Sakuni and so on, and Yudhisthira lost everything. But then, the first time, it was not about going into the forest. The first time, it was about losing the kingdom and everything. But then, the elders spoke. And Vidura managed to convince Dhritarashtra that things are not going well, there will be war. Settle with them. Give them half the kingdom. Bhishma said, give them half the kingdom. All the elders said, give them half the kingdom. Finally, Dhritarashtra relented, said, all right, I will give them half the kingdom. Then what he did, half of the kingdom was an area that had been cursed, and it was a total desert. So he gave them that. He gave them the desert. But then, so the Pandavas never argued. They accepted, all right, if this is what you give, we'll take. Meanwhile, the devatas, the demigods, were making arrangements, and Indra personally sprinkled that land, and as a result, all the dryness disappeared and it became very fertile. And more and more blessings came upon these Pandavas, and soon the Pandavas had a city which was more opulent than even the most opulent palace of the Kurus. It was just outrageous. It was just
I mean, Duyaran could not tolerate it. You know, they were down, and then, like, next moment, they're on top. Then this Maya Dalava built a palace for them, an assembly house. And this assembly house had all these complicated arrangements in it. And we remember that land looked like water, water looked like land. Duyaran came to that place and fell in the water, and all the ladies laughed. And Yudhisthira wanted to stop them, but Krishna stopped Yudhisthira. And Duryodhana was deeply hurt. So Krishna performed wonderful pastimes. The Supreme Personality of Godhead performed wonderful pastimes as a child, to show that he was not a child. When Putana picked up the child, she immediately thought for a moment, this child is so powerful. This child can destroy the entire universe. And she thought, rubbish. My mind is playing games. But indeed, her first impression was right. So as a 3-month-old child, Krishna displayed this pastime of killing this powerful witch, Putana. And later, Krishna also disposed of Shishupala, who during the Rajasuya sacrifice was getting very envious. Why is Krishna being glorified here? It was Sahadev's idea. Who does this upstart Sahadev think he is? There are many respectable personalities. The demigods had come. Lord Brahma was there. Lord Shiva had come. All the great personalities in the universe were there. Why did Yudhisthira glorify Krishna first? Because obviously, Yudhisthira, he knew very well, Ishvara Paraman Krishna Satsidananda Vigraha. He knew very well that Krishna is Parameshwara. Parameshwara is supreme control in the entire universe. And then he arranged that Krishna would be worshipped. Shishupala did not agree. And well, when in a sacrificial arena, there is bloodshed, right? Then that place is contaminated and there can be no sacrifice. So much trouble to make this Rajasuya sacrifice. And the kings were ready to kill Shishupala. They were ready to draw their swords. So then Krishna arranged to kill Shishupala. And he cut his head very quickly with a Sudarshan Chakra in such a way that not a drop of blood was spilled. In this way, Shishupala was killed, but the yajna was not contaminated. So that could continue, and the situation was saved. So Krishna was also expert in matters of diplomacy and state affairs. Krishna, in that way, killed Shishupala, and then Shishupala entered into the body of Krishna. Everyone saw it. But also Shishupala was later given a place in the spiritual world. So Krishna gave great mercy to all those demoniac personalities. So Krishna, his kindness is extraordinary, more than anyone deserves. That is truly the mood of Krishna. He bestows more mercy than we deserve. That is our first meditation. In this evening, we are spending a nice evening with Krishna. And I wanted to, in these words, in speaking, in today, I wanted to have a little meditation on Krishna. Just how Krishna is very kind and merciful. And that Krishna will help us. Krishna will help us. Then, Krishna is the origin of everything. Krishna comes again and again in this world. Adita, Ajita, Manadim, Ananta, Rupa. He comes again and again in this world to deliver his devotees. 500 years ago, the forest of Vrindavan, which was the place where Krishna performed his pastimes, which was the place where he killed Putana, which was the place where Krishna killed many demons, like Trinavarta, Sakatasura, Bakasura, so many demons were killed in that forest by Krishna. In that forest of Vrindavan, where Krishna performed his rasa dance with the gopis, 500 years ago, that entire forest of Vrindavan was overgrown with jungle. So much jungle was there, and practically there was only wildlife. There were tigers in that forest in Vrindavan. Many deers. Even up to 80 years ago, there were so many deers in Vrindavan. Everywhere, deers were just roaming around that forest. And of course, the Nilgai. The Nilgai or the jungly guy in Vrindavan is in English sometimes referred to as a blue antelope. It is said that these Nilgai, these jungle cows, they can run. They can run very fast, but they are like cows. And they have this blackish, bluish color, which is similar to Krishna's color. Some are brown and some are blackish blue. The Nilgai, the bluish one. Sometimes one can see them in Vrindavan around Govardhan Hill or somewhere in the fields, munching on the grains. Yes, in this way, the Nilgai are still there today. 500 years ago, Vrindavan had become jungle and no one actually remembered exactly where all these pastimes of Krishna were taking place. No one remembered. Few places, but most places were forgotten, actually. Some places were remembered, of course. It was then that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent the two brothers Rupa and Sanatana, who had both been government ministers, and they were extremely qualified, extremely learned. They were amongst the most qualified, amongst his disciples, and they were still young and able to take on responsibility. And he sent them to Vrindavan with that mission, mission to rediscover all these lost places. And Rupa and Sanatan consulted many scriptures, and they gradually, on the basis of scriptures and confirming it with local villagers, managed to locate various of the holy places where Krishna performed his pastimes. And gradually, temples were erected in Vrindavan. And we saw in the play, we saw that Sanatana Goswami started that temple, Madan Mohan, the first temple in Vrindavan. Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami started the temple of Radha Govinda, and the other Goswamis started also various temples in Vrindavan, and these were the first temples in Vrindavan, where now there are 5,000, but at that time there were the main temples of the Goswamis.
So he found a beautiful place. It is now known as Dwadas Aditya Tira. It is said that Krishna, after performing his pastimes with Kaliya, not far away from there actually, Kaliya Dharma, at that time Krishna was in the water for a very long time. So naturally Krishna felt a little cold after, as everybody does, after he's been in the water for a long time. So then, Krishna, nearby, rested for a while on a hill which was right next to that place. And then the sun became 12 times warmer at that time. It is a sun that is usually used for disillusion, but for a short time the sun became 12 times warmer and Krishna felt nice and warm. And that place is known as Dwadas Aditya Tira. So Sanatana Goswami decided that he would make his place on that hill. And it's very nice because the hill overlooks the Yamuna. The Yamuna was just flowing very nearby. Actually, gradually the Yamuna is going away from Vrindavan. Sri Prabhupada explained that because in this age of Kali there are so many materialists and offenders in Vrindavan, the Yamuna is gradually going away. So previously the Yamuna was right on the base of the hill, but now that has become the Parikrama Marg, and the Yamuna is a little further out. Anyway, on this hill, Dwadas Aditya Tira, we have a wonderful view of all of Vrindavan, and we can see many holy places, Yamuna, Kesi Ghat, Kaliyalaha, so many places are there, nearby. Then, it was there that Sanatana Goswami resided. And then, somehow or other, Sanatana Goswami used to live by begging some little flower, some atta, from houses of local Brahmanas, and then they would make these balls, these like kind of with the hands, some rotis, and they throw it in the fire and cook them in the ashes, and that was it. At one time, Sanatana Goswami was in Mathura and came to the house of one Brahmana named Chobe. And this Chobe, he was having a number of sons,
And he also had a deity of, and he was, this deity, he was treating the deity just as one of his sons. Whenever all the boys would sit down for their meals, he would also put the deity there and serve the deity also, giving plate. So, then Sanatana Goswami, when he saw that, he said, that's not proper, you cannot treat the deity like that. Oh, the Brahmana said, oh, I'm very sorry, I just, you know, thought it was nice. Then Sanatana Goswami said, no, there are scriptures and you have to worship the deity according to the scriptures. So, that night, the Brahmana had a dream. And in his dream, the deity appeared and said that, I want to go with Sanatana Goswami, you should give me to Sanatana Goswami. At the same time, Sanatana Goswami also had a dream that night. And the deity told him, actually, I was very happy with that Brahmana. And the way he was looking after me, I liked it very much. And very much. But anyway, I have told him that he should give myself to you. So, then the next day, Sanatana Goswami received the deity, and he didn't have any arrangement for the deity. So he didn't want to put the deity on the floor, but he had no altar. So then he just hung the deity in a tree with some cloth, tying it with cloth and then hanging from the tree. At least it was not on the ground. And then he worshipped the deity and then he was offering his rotis, just his. So, you know, one day Madan Mohan said, is that all? Is that all you are offering? Could we maybe... Well, Sanatana Goswami said, well, what do you want? We are mendicants. He said, well, could I get a little salt, maybe? He said, salt? Yes, what you want. Now you want salt, and next you want so many things. We are mendicants. We cannot go for this sense enjoyment. Just you have to be satisfied with this roti. Madan Mohan was thinking, roti without salt. So he arranged it. There was a storm and a ship was sailing on the Yamuna. That ship became stuck on a sandbank. And then everyone, the owner of the ship was called and said, what to do? And then he said, go to Sanatana Goswami. He was formerly Prime Minister, he knows everything. You ask him. So they went to Sanatana Goswami, and Sanatana Goswami told them, you pull in this direction, and you pray to Madan Mohan, and then everything will be fine. And it was. The ship came free, and as a result, the owner, some Kapoor, was very, very pleased, and he said, yes, what can I give you in exchange for this? Sanatana Goswami said, I am a renunciant, a mendicant, I don't need anything. But what you can do is you can build a temple for Madan Mohan. And then that temple was constructed on this dwellers, Adichitira. Oh, and what was in the boat? Guess. Salt. That's right. No. So in this way, Madan Mohan got his salt. So Krishna is making all the arrangements. We don't have to worry. It's not that we ourselves have to be always in anxiety. What plan shall I make? Or how to do everything? You see, Sanatana Goswami was very peaceful and relying on Krishna. And Krishna made all the arrangements and everything just went on. It is like that. The more the devotee depends on Krishna, the more Krishna makes the arrangements. The more we depend on ourselves and we make all the arrangements, then Krishna stands by and he's looking. It's not going to work out. He knows. He knows very well. He can see everything. He knows. Your plan is wrong. Can't you see it?
No, we cannot. No, we cannot see it. We are sure that it will work.
Now I figure it out. Now I know what to do. I am experienced. I am wealthy, and I will become more wealthy. Yes. But suddenly, a calamity, an unexpected event. Krishna do everything all alone, because he is the supreme lord. He is in control, and there is no other solution than to depend on him.
The Srimad Bhagavatam begins with the verse Jamadyasyantaha, following the Vedanta Sutra with these lines.
The Vedanta Sutra is saying, Atato Brahma Jigyasa, and now inquire into the Absolute Truth, Jamadyasyantaha, Krishna. So Krishna is that origin of everything. So when Srila Prabhupada gives his introduction to Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada explains, he said, the first verse of Bhagavatam is very interesting. Because the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam is pointing out that it is dealing with the Absolute Truth. The last words are Param Satyam Dimahi. Param Satyam means the Absolute Truth. Dimahi is the word for meditation. This word is also found in the Gayatri Mantra, Dimahi. Therefore it is said, by this word Dimahi, it is invoking the Gayatri Mantra. The Gayatri Mantra is saying the same thing, that behind everything there is Krishna. So it is interesting that first verse of Bhagavatam is saying, giving the same conclusion as the Gayatri, that behind everything is Krishna. The origin of everything is Krishna. But some will say, no, it is not Krishna that is behind everything. What is behind everything is Brahman. And it is Brahman that is behind everything. That is what they will say. But we can see that Bhagavatam is establishing very clearly that it is Krishna. That it is Krishna who is behind everything. And that it is Krishna who is the source of everything. Even the source of Brahman. This is confirmed also in the Isupanishad. The Upanishad means to sit close by. Close by the feet, by the lotus feet. So, to be close to the truth. There are eight principal Upanishads, amongst 108 Upanishads, and amongst them is Isupanishad. In the Isupanishad, which is describing everything about Isa, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, our Istadev, there it is said, Hiranmayena Patrena Satyasyapitam Mukam Tattvam Kusam Bhavinu Satyadharmaya Drishyate. That it said, please take away this effulgence, this Brahma Jyoti, this Jyoti. I am now seeing the Brahma Jyoti. It's something like that. Please take away this dazzling effulgence which is blinding my eyes, and show behind this effulgence your true faith. Yes. So it says, Janani Asya Yataha. It is said, Krishna, he is the origin of everything, and he knows everything. He is abhigya, he knows everything, and yet he is swarat, he is independent. So this is interesting, because it shows Krishna is all pervading, he knows everything, but he's also independent at the same time. It means Krishna, in his original form, Bansriwala, he is the origin of everything. Everything is his energy, but he is also independent from that energy. That is what Bhagavatam says. So in this way, we understand, yes, it is Krishna who is the source of everything. And then Prabhupada says, the purpose of the Bhagavatam is to establish that Param Satyam is Parameshwar.
Yes.
That the absolute truth is Parameshwar or Param Ishwar, the Supreme Controller. Prabhupada says, when you say Param Satyam, then the absolute truth, then it can be anything. It can be impersonal. It can be this deity. That is difficult to say, Param Satyam. But when you say Parameshwar, then you speak about controller, Ishvara. That means personality. Then you speak about personality. Therefore, then you speak about Krishna. Stu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is the purpose of Bhagavatam. To establish that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Govindam Adipurusha, the original of everything, Krishna. So, in this way, this evening is centering around this theme. It is a very wonderful occasion, because just like Yudhisthira Maharaj was making a huge arrangement for the Rajasuya sacrifice, the sacrifice where Yudhisthira was to be crowned the undisputed emperor of the world, and they had to conquer all directions, and they had to bring so much opulence in this sacrifice, and the whole world was watching it. It's something like a big match, you know, like nowadays, a big sport match, and everyone is glued to the television. The whole world is watching it. The whole world was watching the Rajasuya sacrifice. Everybody knew about it. Delegates had come from everywhere, even from the higher planetary systems. They had come. And in that occasion of Rajasuya, Yudhisthira Maharaj, who was the center of the attention, took a position of humility. And Yudhisthira Maharaj then, in front of all to know, glorified Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as the Adipurush, as the original personality from whom everything emanates. Right there for the whole world to know it. And this was Yudhisthira's plan and purpose, and it was a wonderful plan. And Krishna fulfilled all Yudhisthira's plans. Yudhisthira was such a person. It is said in the Bhagavatam, no one in this world ever gets all his plans fulfilled. But Yudhisthira got all his plans fulfilled. And he used it, he used all the facility he got perfectly to establish Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the same way, I must congratulate you all, right? I must congratulate you all for tonight making such a wonderful festival, right? Just on a regular Saturday, but we have turned a regular Saturday into a wonderful event, an event where Krishna has been recognized by all as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as Parameshwar Krishna, as the Supreme Controller. And we have understood tonight, beyond a doubt, that Param Satyam, the Absolute Truth, is Parameshwar Sri Krishna. And that is wonderful. So, because the Vaishnavas, they are the servants of the kind and merciful Sri Krishna, who is Suridam Saradeyam, the well-wisher of all living beings. And thus the Vaishnavas become very kind and merciful. And therefore, it is a wonderful evening to be here with all these Vaishnavas who are very kind personalities. Sanatana Goswami was a great devotee. Rupa Goswami was a great devotee of Krishna. They were Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's principal disciples. They were our spiritual masters. They were teaching us how to understand Srimad Bhagavatam. They were teaching us how to worship Krishna properly. And they are our spiritual masters. And by the mercy of these spiritual masters, we are very blessed. So I think that the whole evening is very transcendental, and that the choice of the program was all ordained by Krishna. There is no question that here some ordinary person was just going creative. Guna Malindu is really good at that beard. She's smiling at me from the side of her stage. Maybe she should grow a beard. Let me think. There's all smiles over there.
Absolutely. I think that Krishna had a plan. I think that we were making a plan, but I think that Krishna took advantage of our plan and actually gave us an evening which bring us really closer, Upanishad, close together at the feet of Param Satya, of the Absolute Truth. And we know it is Krishna. So I think that this evening is a great success because of, not only because we remembered Krishna, but also because of its bonding effect. It was Murugavidyar Prabhu who was sitting next to me, and every once in a while in between was saying some wise words. And he said, "Oh, this is very nice. It is the best we've had. We never had a program like this." And he said, "It is really good. It brings everyone together." And well, that was a good point. So I thought I'd share that with you. Thank you. On behalf of you for your insights.